Hello, I'm Andrew Phipps with Faith Family Freedom. Welcome to our podcast. I think you're going to enjoy the segues and the video clips and what we have formatted for you. A special emphasis, or you might say the theme, the thesis, will be taking a look at D-Day 80 years later and perhaps film footage that was actually shown on that historic day of June 6, 1944. It reinforces my love of America and great patriotism. I think that we are a great nation. It was displayed valiantly, courageously, and for us in so many places. We'll be taking a look at the bravery, how courageous the men, the folks that went ashore there at about five locations. We probably sort of strategized Omaha Beach, where the greatest casualties occurred, Utah Beach, and others. And of course, this operation over D-Day, as it was planned, and everything had to kind of be in sync. And so these boys that left as boys came back as men, those that survived. We lost about 4,400 men on that fateful day, and we do this to solemnize the great trajectory that our boys had to go through, leaving moms and dads and wives and husbands and children and going to faraway places, places that they could not even pronounce the names, you know. And so tonight we're going to do our best to present a program for you that hopefully will inspire, will help to educate us, and perhaps will make us more inclined to advocate for the values that these brave people that they symbolize and that they showed in the exemplary conduct with which they face these challenges. And we'll be back in just a moment after this special announcement.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest.
So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
This was on a building, on a roof of one of the buildings, and I took it off and brought it back. My name is Irving Locker, and I serve with 116th AAA Gun Battalion. The AAA stands for Anti-Aircraft, Anti-Tank, and Artillery. I've served in World War II and went in on D-Day, Utah Beach. I was drafted, and that was it. The 116th is amazing. There were four guns to a battery. The gun was 9.5 tons each gun. The barrel was 15 feet long. There were 14 men on a gun. The bullet that we fired was 3 feet tall and weighed 45 pounds. The first thing we had to do is learn how to transport the guns, and it was a big, big job. We had to protect the men, we had to protect the equipment, we had to protect bridges, we had to protect everything that we could that the German planes would look to destroy. I learned from working in a gas station that if each man is assigned to a particular job, it can be done in half the time and done very well. So I suggested that to the men. I said, let's give it a try because it's very confusing. And they said, okay, let's give it a try. So I assigned each man to do a particular job on that gun, loading and unloading, and it worked out fine. So thank God it worked. And we had the highest number of planes shot down in the entire First Army because of that. So at 19 years old, I became a staff sergeant in charge of four of these 90-millimeter guns and 65 men. But I treated it like family. Once you're a family, you do what's good for everybody, working together to accomplish what we had to do and then taking care of each other. Once we got orders that we were moving into that situation and to prepare, because everybody was worried about it and everybody thought about it. When you're training, you're training. When you're going to go into battle, it's a different ballgame. We landed on D-Day on Utah Beach. But when we were on that boat, on that Higgins boat, everybody talked about the same thing. Be careful and to the point of helping each other and not getting killed. We had a 3-pound helmet. We had a 27-pound pack on our back. We had ammunition strapped across our waist and our shoulders. And jumping into 5 feet of water, you know, is not an easy situation. It wasn't something that we had ever seen before in all of our training. But once we hit that beach, they kept hollering, get off the beach, because on the beach, you're a victim. Off the beach, you're a warrior. Get off that beach, we need you. You know, there were more dead people than I could ever imagine in my life watching as we came off of that, which was heartbreaking to see. It was definitely a turning point in our favor that it was successful. It was so important for us to get on that beach and get our guns set up to protect the men and the incoming men after us. If you don't protect that beach, the men can't come in. If the men can't come in, you can't win a war. You don't realize when you go to a cemetery how lucky you are, only because of the men that sacrificed their lives, their limbs, so that we could be free. And unless people think about that and praise that, they don't realize what it is to do it. So you have to learn to appreciate that and look back and say how lucky I am that I didn't have to go to war and I didn't have to be shot at, I didn't have to be this or that. You didn't have tables, you didn't have chairs, you didn't have anything else like that because you're in the field. Living together, sleeping together, eating together, that's a big difference. So you get to know everybody and it becomes a family. And that's how we talked about it. That's my story. But you have to understand that I'm 99 years old, I'm going to be 100 years old this November, and I'm going the same way, going strong. I know how close I came to dying. I know how close I came to being wounded for everybody around me. When you work with veterans and you see what they came out of that war with, You have to have one understanding. But for the grace of God, go I, because I went through it. Somebody was watching over me and my men. So other than that, I don't know what else to say.
That shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer, and be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. Glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me as he died to make men holy. Let us live to make men free.
Hallelujah.
Well, I certainly was moved by the description there of the brave patriot that organized and helped the men under these dire circumstances. You know, I was told that the weight of the carbine held many of the men in the water. And of course, getting off with all the weight of your uniform, the helmet, and all the ammunition that you needed, stepping into 5 feet of water. What an undertaking. Words almost escape us when we try to find the proper descriptions for the narrative that we're trying to bring across tonight. The price of freedom is not free. 4,400 Americans, just Americans, died on that fateful day. And others that were there heard the cries of dying men as they yelled for their mothers and perhaps their dads and thinking about home. It makes me more in my vigor. It gives me reinforcements to be a patriot, to stand for the Christian values that made us such a great nation. And I want to do what we can do. And this is the thrust of this podcast, that we can help one another, that we can sort of come together and realize that it's up to us. You know, the passing of democracy and freedom, as Ronald Reagan so aptly stated, is only one generation away from extinction. And so it's up to me and you to pay the price, the bravery of those young boys. Think of a youngster, 19 years of age, just a year out of high school, and being faced with challenges that would be so daunting, that would be so staggering, so stupendous, that even mature men would have to stand back and say, what an awesome undertaking. John F. Kennedy, our 35th president, was the youngest elected president in our history. Theodore Roosevelt became president at a younger age, but he became president upon the assassination of William McKinley. John F. Kennedy served on a boat, PT-109, and it was from there later that he wrote the book Profiles in Courage. But John F. Kennedy had to say something about this when he said, the cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender. And I'll be back in just a moment for this announcement.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success in many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And I think that you would enjoy the book. I believe it's 291 pages, about 50 pages of color photographs primarily. And we talk about some of the challenges that I faced growing up. And not saying that I've attained or arrived, but these are some things that are germane, that are relevant to many of us. We all go through struggles, and our country is undergoing a tremendous struggle. We see so much division within the country, a great deal of depression, certainly a lot of depravity, people that are attacking our faith and so on. But I have something here that I want to share with you tonight about General Dwight David Eisenhower and also Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill has honorary citizenship in our country, and I've been privileged to go to his gravesite in England. And both of these men, General Eisenhower, who oversaw the D-Day, Operation Overlord, and he told the men about what the struggle would be and how ostensibly that it would be overwhelming. A good friend of mine, Claude Smith, was in the lines that night as General Eisenhower came through to talk to the men on June the 5th. And Claude had his carbine there, and it was heavy, and he allowed his buddy to take it just momentarily. Well, when General Eisenhower came down the rows to talk to the men, he stopped at the man that had the carbine and spoke to the resident in Washington, D.C. on many occasions. And of course, Winston Churchill, in the famous oratory that he gave, said that we would fight on the beaches, we would fight in the streets, in the air, that we would never surrender. Let's take a look.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
And friends, it's so invigorating to me to know this is 80 years past, to see and hear of the goals that we had for the war. And I certainly concur that it was wonderful to hear both men to speak about God, how that we need Him. Not only in war, but we need Him in peace, and how that we were looking to Him as the architect of our freedoms and give us the power to overcome those that wanted oppression, that wanted authoritarianism, that wanted dictatorship, that didn't mind to put people into gulags or concentration camps and put poor people into ovens, and the barbarous barbarianism of Hitler and Mussolini and Tojo and all of the others. My, we didn't have any choice but to fight to the death, as it were, for the survival of freedom and the idea of the American way, the idea that we want to live in freedom. But we had no other choices. And I have something else that I'd like to share with you that might give you a little bit of a scope of what we're trying to do around the country on television and other outlets. Let's take a look at that. Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan,
and Annapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me, and I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits, but these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps.
This is the coastline of Normandy, France, where the legendary D-Day beach landings took place. American forces suffered over 4,000 casualties on Omaha Beach, the bloodiest of five landing sites on the Normandy coast on June 6, 1944. This was D-Day, the epic event that altered the course of World War II. Today, the Normandy American Cemetery, sited on a bluff high above the coast, is one of the world's best-known military memorials. These hallowed grounds preserve the remains of nearly 9,400 Americans who died during the Allied liberation of France. Three Medal of Honor recipients rest here. 45 sets of brothers lie side by side. The visitor center describes the events and the significance of the D-Day landings and the ensuing campaign for Normandy. Every year, over a million visitors come to pay their respects to the fallen and learn more about the crucial events that happened here. Within the picturesque trees, an immense array of headstones rises in long regular rows. At the west end of the cemetery, granite statues represent the United States and France. A small chapel sits at the center of the cemetery. Inside, a ceiling mosaic depicts America blessing her sons as they depart to fight for freedom. In the open arc of the memorial, a bronze statue symbolizes the indomitable spirit of American youth. Over 1,500 names are carved on the walls in the Garden of the Missing, behind the memorial. The daunting challenges and intense combat of the campaigns to liberate France live on in this inspiring burial ground, the final resting place for so many courageous American servicemen and women.
And my first cousin, Wilburn Kirby Ross, won the Medal of Honor on October the 30th, 1944. This was about 5 months after D-Day at St. Jacques, France. Sergeant Alvin C. York of World War I fame came to his reception in the little town of Stearns, Kentucky, on June the 16th, 1945. We were very proud of Webb. His dad is my uncle, Uncle Ned Ross, and I was privileged this year to go to where he is buried there at the Tacoma, Washington Cemetery. And, of course, being a Medal of Honor recipient, he never really tried to brag about it or anything, but he would tell us when asked and try to tell us a little bit about that. But I think that we have a clip here that you might appreciate showing the marker sand from right there from the beach heads, and they put that on there to make the name stand out better. And we certainly thank those French people for doing this. It's certainly an effort that is deeply appreciated. We must never forget. So it's a good place, and I'm so happy that people like my good friend Michael Thurman was able to go with his dad just this past week, Joe Thurman, to Normandy. And he told me that they just treated them so well with the receptions and the honors, wonderful food, took them there as part of this honor group. And they put a lot of money, different groups did, so that they could have a reunion, a remembrance. We're down to just a handful of men that actually survived those beaches at Normandy. By now, just about all of them are close to 100 years old. Some are older. But I think now that we will be back in just a moment.
In the cold gray light of the 6th of June, in the year of 44, the Empire Lark sailed out from Poole to join with thousands more, the largest fleet the world had seen. We sailed in close array, and we set our course for Normandy at the dawning of the day. There was not one man in all our crew but knew what lay in store, for we had waited for that day through 5 long years of war. We knew that many would not return, but all our hearts were true, for we were bound for Normandy, where we had a job to do. Now the Empire Larch was a deep sea tug with a crew of 33, and I was just the galley boy on my first trip to sea. I little thought when I left home of the dreadful sights I'd see. But I came to manhood on the day that I first saw Normandy. At Arromanche, off the beach of gold, neath the rocket's deadly glare, we towed our block ships into place, and we built a harbour there. Mid shot and shell we built it well, as history does agree, while brave men died in the swirling tide on the shores of Normandy. For every hero's name that's known, 1,000 died as well. On stakes and wires their bodies bore, rocked in the ocean swell.
And many a mother wept that day for the sons they loved so well. Men who cracked a joke and cadged a smoke as they stormed the gates of hell. As the years passed by, I can still recall the men I saw that day, who died upon that blood-soaked sand where now sweet children play. And those of you who were unborn, who've lived in liberty, remember those who made it so on the shores of Normandy.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Lieutenant Colonel McCrae said this, "In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with a foe, to you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Immemorial, and continue to don the uniforms of our country and stand in harm's way, we salute each one. I hope that we will continue to pray for the peace, not only of our country, but for the peace of Jerusalem, and that maybe we can experience a spiritual awakening. Thank you for joining us. This is Andrew Fitt.
In the land of the brave where heroes stand tall, fighters of freedom answering the call, they march with honor, hearts filled with pride. Together we remember their sacrifice won't hide. Through the darkest nights, they carried the light, defending our freedom with all of their might. May the shining stars forever in our hearts, their bravery echoes, never torn apart. We won't forget the heroes that we lost. United we stand, no matter the cost. In
heartbeat, their memory will shine. The fallen soldiers for revive.
Army skies of gray, in shadows they stand, guardians of peace across this great land.
Their courage unyielding, in battles unseen,
they forge our tomorrow
and everything in between.
In whispers of valor, their tales are retold, a covenant of duty, bravely bold in the silence of night.
Their legacy we hold,
for in the heart of the nation,
their story unfolds. We won't forget
Papa, what was it like on D-Day?
We had no idea what we were going to do or where it would happen, but it was the beginning.
It was a very decisive battle for us because our mission was to establish ourselves on the beach.
But when we were on that Hickin boat, everybody talked about the same thing, helping each other and not getting killed.
We started up this sandy area, and were hundreds of men inside.
My father jumped about 1:30 in the morning on June 6th. The plane was too low, it was too fast. The fire coming up was so thick, it was like you could walk on it.
It wasn't something that we had ever seen before in all of our training.
I always have said that it was the power of my mother's prayers that saved me that day.
And it gets to me thinking about it. But as I look over all those crosses, I see people standing up, even waving. I have to go back because there's something there that draws you back.
I have a very close friend that I knew by the name of Edward Marasovich. He had received a very bad stomach wound and I could not even bandage it properly. We said goodbye to each other forever. He's laying here on the cemetery here in Colville. I think of the many men here that paid the ultimate price for the freedom of Europe.
Young people want to know and need to know. Everybody I saw that I was glad to fight alongside them, they were willing to stand up. And not all of them came back.
And they all have a story to tell. And it's our responsibility to tell those stories. People will not be forgotten as long as we keep talking about them.
that I'm not a hero. I just did my job. The real heroes are laying here on the cemeteries. These are our heroes. And we should never forget them.